אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Hi, my name is Abby Stein. I grew up in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jewish community, which is a lot of names, but it is a community that is extremely strict. It's a community that's trying to follow their understanding of Judaism in a very radical way. It's a community that is trying to shelter themselves from the outside world in every way possible. They do not have access to any outside media, no TV, movies, radio, anything like that. They even try to find the internet. That's where I grew up. It's a community that is also extremely gender segregated, which was really hard for me because I say my birth certificate said that I was a boy, but since I remember myself, I always identified as a girl. It was quite hard to... hard is an understatement. It was impossible to deal with that in a community that was so gender segregated. I come from a small family, as I like to say. I have 12 siblings. I have 8 sisters and 4 brothers. My mother has 8 siblings. My father has 10. A very standard family in the Hasidic community. I got engaged when I was 18, and then I have a son that was born when I was 19. Arranged marriages at at 18, 19 is fairly common. It's actually the standard in the Hasidic community. And then when I was around 20, I left the Hasidic community, which at that point was a combination of kind of my gender identity triggered a discomfort with the community and almost pushed me out. Then after I left, I had to get an education because growing up, we didn't really get anything other than a Jewish education. I studied a bit of English and a bit of math, but that's it. So I got a high school diploma, then I started university. I went to college to get a bachelor's degree. And then in 2015... I came out as a woman of trans experience, and I've been out for 3.5 years. A lot of my work, actually most of my work in the last 3 years, has been revolving around that. I've been traveling around the world, talking about LGBTQ and specifically transgender issues, which is what I'm here in Australia for. And I also have a book called Becoming Eve, which is coming out on November 12, 2019.
We're talking to Abby Stein. And you're listening to SBS Radio Broadcasting Around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. I must tell you, I'm sitting right now next to Abby Stein. She's an absolutely beautiful lady talking to me. Like, you would never guess that she was born a boy.
And I wasn't born a boy. I'm always going to fight with that. I always say the doctor said that I was a boy. I don't think I ever was. But, you know.
Well, okay. You had a child.
I agree.
Biologically, you were born a boy.
Depends. So here's the thing. I don't talk a lot about it. But, okay, I'm not going to go into that. But even biology is not clear cut. Every time people talk about, I think an argument that a lot of right wings like to use is chromosomes. You can't change your chromosomes because everything else you can change. Like when you look on a person and you say, this is a boy, this is a girl, actually everything that you see, it's called secondary sex characteristics, is not determined at birth. It's determined from your hormones. But even from chromosomes, I think something that we don't discuss a lot is that 1 out of 50 kids, I mean up to like 2% of the population as far as we know, is born in one way or another that what we would call biology doesn't fit into any strict category. So gender and sex is a lot more complicated than people like to think. And it has been like that forever.
I realized it after meeting you. I didn't think about it before.
I know. Yeah.
And so how was the process? I mean, you were actually married with a child. Yeah. That is a huge step to walk out of it.
So to be honest, what's important to point out is in the Hasidic community, getting married is not necessarily a decision. It's not that you turn 18 and you get a choice. Do you want to go to college? Do you want to get a job? Do you want to get married? If you turn 18, you get married. I always say that, like, you know, you're born, you eat, you breathe, you get married. It's very much what the Hasidic community is, which is important to point out. Now, my marriage was relatively successful, and we only got divorced because my ex's family forced us to get divorced because I wasn't religious anymore. And my son is one of the best things that has ever happened to me in my life.
Do you see your son?
My son's life is private. I don't like to talk about my son's life publicly. I always tell people when my son turns 18, he can do whatever he wants, and that's his decision. His life right now is private. But yeah, that is also important. But yes, it was a very big step. I'm not going to undermine it. It has been, first and foremost, leaving the community, getting an education. I didn't even have a high school diploma. Learning to speak the language, learning anything about
you culture. Were born in America and you didn't speak English.
Nope, I didn't speak. Growing up, I didn't speak any English. By now I was 20, I knew the ABCs and some words and the numbers. I couldn't have a normal conversation in English. And then I started learning English. Actually, ironically, the first I started learning English by watching YouTube videos that were teaching English to Hebrew speakers because, I mean, it's weird. I grew up speaking Hebrew, but not really Hebrew. We spoke something that we called Lushan Kodesh, which is written the same way as Hebrew, but it's pronounced differently, which is weird. It's like, currently, I say to people, I speak five languages. I speak Yiddish, which is my first language. It's pretty much, I mean, Yiddish has a very rich culture, and it's interesting, but it's pretty much useless outside of the Hasidic community now. And Hebrew, I do speak, and I can have a very fluent conversation in Hebrew, but I still have a weird accent that people always have trouble placing. I'm like, it's Hasidic, it's not American, it's Hasidic or Yiddish, and even that. And then I also speak Aramaic, because starting in fourth grade, we started, I don't really speak Aramaic because there's no one to speak to, but I know how to read and write it, and because starting in fourth grade for the Talmud, and then a lot of Hasidic and Kabbalistic texts and songs are written in Aramaic. So like, out of my five languages, about three of them are like halfway useless. But that's what I grew up with, and that's what I learned. It took me a long time to learn first how to be a person, first and foremost. And then in 2015, when I transitioned, I had to learn how to be a girl, which was actually really easy for me. It just felt right. That has been what I've been doing since. I went to college to get a bachelor's in gender studies and political science. Yeah.
Do you see your family?
Not my parents. My parents stopped talking to me. They were still talking to me when I left the community. They were not accepting. When I left the community, they were not accepting in any way or form, and that's important. They were tolerating it. They were putting up with it until I transitioned. And that's when my father told me when I came out to him. He told me, I'm never going to be able to talk to you again.
Why is that? I mean, he was still talking to you when you actually stopped keeping Shabbat and keeping the mitzvot. Yeah. But when you decided to want to really live like a girl, he said, no, yeah. No more.
It's actually interesting because from a religious point of view, I'm currently a lot more involved in Judaism than I was when I left the community. And I love it. I love my Jewish identity now. It's not religious. It's more cultural and spiritual to some extent. But I think to my parents, you got to put it a lot in the context of the Hasidic community. Leaving the community happens. There are an estimated of over 10,000 people who have left the Hasidic community in New York alone. There's probably a similar number for the Hasidic community in Israel. People leave. So when it comes to for the shame for a family of, oh, their child left, it's a lot less. It's something to deal with because it happens. Almost every big family that I know has a few people who have left. However, I was the first Hasidic trans person. There was no one before me. So I think a lot of it is the culture and the community. Try to imagine living in a cult. And yeah, the Hasidic community is not fully a cult, only halfways. But it's something new. It's something that they don't know how to deal with. And the shame and the difference, anything that's different is a threat to them. And this is the most radical difference that they have had forever. So I think that is the biggest reason why.
So you had a bar mitzvah. Did you have a bat mitzvah?
Yeah. I like to say that a lot. When I do that, I spoke at the Emanuel School here in Sydney. I asked the kids to raise their hands who had a bar mitzvah, and it was about half of the room. Then who had a bat mitzvah, about half of the room. Then I'm like, who had both? And I raised my hand, and no one else does. So yeah, I did, actually. So I belong now to a community called Romemu in New York City. And 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago by now, I did a bat mitzvah there where I did like got a Hebrew name and did an aliyah, like calling up to the Torah. And we read and we were singing and we had a kiddush and a big meal. It was a really beautiful celebration. It's available on YouTube for anyone who wants to watch it.
Abby Stein, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wish you lots of happiness.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.